Welcome to the debate. Today, we are focusing on one of the most compelling concepts presented in the source material, the 10 core emotional complexes. These are well-organized, deep-seated patterns of feeling and behavior that fundamentally structure our inner world, emerging directly from these sort of primal survival systems embedded right in the nervous system.
Yeah, that architecture is profound. We absolutely agree that human emotions aren't just chaotic. They have a distinct, recognizable design. And mapping these complexes, you know, existential safety, attachment, belonging, agency, fairness, and the rest, that really is the key to understanding and ultimately achieving emotional maturity.
Indeed. But the core tension, I think, in the material lies in how we interpret the relationship between these 10 complexes. The source material offers two powerful, perhaps conflicting metaphors to describe this internal structure, the ladder and the web. So our debate today really centers on which metaphor better reflects the underlying neuroscience. Does the evidence primarily support a hierarchical model, the ladder analogy, where basic foundational needs must be secured kind of in a sequence before higher, more nuanced functions can become reliably available?
Or is emotional balance, resilience, and maturity dependent primarily on the integrated network model, what's called the web analogy, which emphasizes the constant, reciprocal, and mutually supporting interaction of all 10 complexes, regardless of their position in that theoretical sequence? So I'll be arguing for the critical importance of holistic integration across the entire complex system.
And I will present the case for the necessary foundational priority of the hierarchy. Let's start with why I think the ladder is, well, structurally non-negotiable. When we look at the architecture of the mind and body presented in the material, the evidence for a hierarchy seems pretty explicit, developmental and deeply physiological. Adult development is framed as climbing a tiered structure, right? Moving from basic survival toward transcendence and meaning. The system is structurally reliant on those first three complexes, existential safety, attachment belonging, and agency fairness, which together form the foundational triad for adult regulation. Now, this isn't just a preferred route. It functions really as a required sequence for stable adult functioning. The most, I think, undeniable proof of this dependency structure comes from how the nervous system allocates resources under threat. Under stress, we don't just shift, we actually regress down this hierarchy. When the body perceives danger, the resources for the higher, more sophisticated complexes like exploration, which drives creativity, or contribution, which fuels generosity, they're immediately stripped away. The primitive circuits prioritize the lower layers, basically to ensure immediate survival. These higher functions usually vanish until the safety complex is satisfied and that sort of physical ground is restored. This collapse, to me, confirms that the capacity for self-actualization is fundamentally contingent upon the security of the lower rungs.
Okay. I see why you emphasize that, the clear physiological regression. But that architecture, while structured developmentally, is ultimately aimed toward a state of integration, not sequential mastery. If the goal was simply climbing the ladder, you know, maturity would be about eliminating the influence of the lower complexes. But the material tells us the opposite. The primary goal is described as integration, meaning all systems are kept online and working together. I focus on the web because the complexes are explicitly described as not being isolated boxes. They're designed to overlap and interact constantly. The real pathology, the real impediment to functioning, isn't being stuck on a low rung. It's when any single complex, regardless of its level, monopolizes energy and dictates behavior. Think about the boundary complex, which is sort of mid-level. Its failure to integrate with belonging leads to chronic people-pleasing or the inability to say no. That dysfunction isn't really about a lack of safety. It's a failure of coordination between two systems on the network. The capacity for sustained stability suggests a constant, mutually supporting relationship where stabilizing one thread of the web actually uplifts the rest, which argues for independence over strict dependency.
That's an interesting point about monopolization, yeah, but let's look closer at the mechanism of collapse, because I think the mechanism proves the hierarchy. When an individual experiences a severe financial setback, for example, we see the immediate, hardwired collapse of the exploration and meaning systems. The fact that creativity collapses if you're worried about rent isn't just a metaphor. It's the nervous system redirecting its cognitive power. This feels like pure hierarchical resource allocation. The primitive circuits, focused on existential safety, they demand every joule of energy to address the immediate threat. Shutting down the energy-expensive processes required for long-term planning, creativity, finding deeper meaning. If the systems were merely an interconnected web, wouldn't we expect more of a gradual dimming across the network? Instead, we see an immediate, targeted shutdown of the highest functions. Doesn't this biological imperative, the body prioritizing survival over meaning, confirm that the base layer dictates the functional capacity of the upper structure?
Well, I'm not convinced that total collapse is the only outcome, or that regression proves strict linear causation. Where my thinking diverges is on the nature of that shutdown. I would frame this regression as a systemic failure of coordination, not necessarily proof that the higher rungs are inherently dependent on the lower rungs being fully secured first. When severe stress hits, yes, the primal systems associated with existential safety simply hijack operational resources because they're the fastest, most efficient responders. They're built for speed, right? Not nuance. However, the goal of emotional maturity, as understood through the integration lens, is precisely to prevent this complete hijacking. I mean, if the latter model is absolutely correct, how do we account for the documented psychological resilience where people facing acute, even existential threats, say loss of home or job, still maintain some ability to mentor others that's contribution or enforce necessary boundary?
The web suggests that those systems are still technically operating, maybe just at lower volume, allowing the individual perhaps to innovate or negotiate their way out of a crisis, which a complete hierarchical shutdown would seem to preclude. The mature goal feels more like partial resource reallocation, not total suppression.
Okay, I accept that maturity strives for resilience, but the method of achieving that resilience, I believe, still runs through the foundational triad. The material states that the triad of safety, belonging, and agency must feel secure before the rest of the emotional hierarchy can sustainably open up. We see this in the application of the framework. Consider the example of Sam the Builder. His deeply rooted resentment and frustration, which is clearly agency fairness and distress, it's not treated in isolation. It's traced back to the more primitive fear of instability, the lack of ground associated with existential safety within his relationship dynamic. The therapeutic solution proposed is explicitly sequential. Soothe the base layer first, prove to the body that safety exists in the here and now, before addressing the higher layer of planning future autonomy and fairness. The architecture itself seems to dictate the required order of therapeutic intervention.
If a higher complex could simply be fixed with, say, cognitive reframing, why is bottom-up, body-based safety work consistently the priority?
That's a compelling argument regarding therapeutic sequence, and I absolutely acknowledge the profound utility of establishing physical safety first. However, focusing solely on the foundational triad risks neglecting how deeply mid-level and even upper-level complexes can actively destabilize the base. Let's return to your example of Sam, but maybe consider it through the lens of the valuation and reward complex. This complex, situated sort of mid-ladder, measures effort against outcome. It's essentially a feedback mechanism. If Sam is working tirelessly, but his efforts are chronically unrewarded, unseen, or undervalued, if that feedback loop fails, his brain interprets that silence as wasted energy, leading to intense feelings of futility and disappointment.
But futility isn't quite the same as existential fear, is it?
No, it's not the same, but the functional results can be quite similar. That disappointment, born from a mid-level complex, can quickly erode his sense of agency, his ability to influence his environment, which is a foundational complex. If Sam's hard work consistently yields no reward, he starts to feel powerless, right? And that sense of powerlessness can rapidly ripple down the network. Suddenly, his sense of fairness is compromised, and his ability to establish independent security, which relates to safety, is challenged because if his efforts feel useless, how can he ever build a secure life? The interconnected web explains this multidirectional flow much better, I think. A breakdown in valuation doesn't just stall progress upwards, it actively challenges the structural integrity of the base itself.
Okay, I can accept the rippling effect. All systems interact, of course. But the ultimate mechanism for recovery, which feels like the key distinction here, remains fundamentally hierarchical in my view. Let's look at the very tool designed for moment-to-moment regulation, the MMPM. Step 2 focuses entirely on establishing multisensory safety, feeling your feet on the ground, regulated breath, noticing stable objects around you. These sensory inputs are explicitly used to communicate with the primitive circuits that now is safe. This is pure, bottom-up, body-based grounding. Why? Because this fundamental physical security must occur so that step 3, the reflective function of witness don't fix, the one that recruits the thinking brain to analyze the network, can then proceed without the nervous system just spiraling into escalation. Safety has to precede high-level reflection.
The body must be secured before the mind can effectively analyze the complexities of the network.
I come at the practice from a slightly different angle. The function of grounding in step 2 isn't solely to secure the safety complex, in my interpretation. It's to bring the body back into a functional state so that reflection and management can continue across the entire network. It's really about achieving coordination, not just ticking off sequential safety checks. Step 3 is where the real integration work happens. By naming the complex that is currently running the show, the agency complex is lit up and demanding justice, or maybe the mortality complex is causing this moment of quiet dread, you bring conscious awareness to the active parts of the architecture. And awareness, the material notes, is the necessary input that shifts the system from conflict towards coordination.
So the ultimate aim isn't necessarily to satisfy the base layer perfectly before moving on. It is to give each activated system what it actually needs. Safety gets ground, yes, but agency gets recognition of fairness. Meaning might get a moment of awe or wonder. This feels fundamentally like a process of simultaneously managing the 10 demands as they present themselves, which to me proves that coordination across the web is the operational goal, regardless of the developmental ladder used to describe it.
Well, while integration is undeniably the desired state of maturity, the operational architecture, especially under duress, remains tiered. The nervous system's hardwiring, overwhelming, and frankly, highly efficient response to threat to divert all power to primal survival mode confirms for me that the basic needs for safety, belonging, and agency dictate the functional availability of the higher, more abstract capacities like exploration, meaning, and mortality. When the body senses danger, the latter dictates the flow of resources, demanding sequential resolution. The latter is the necessary structure for development. The web is perhaps the desired state of adult functionality built upon that foundation.
But the value of the 10 complexes framework, especially for promoting resilience, I think lies in recognizing that emotional maturity is defined by the capacity for all these parts to coordinate. The network where every engine performs its specific function without hijacking the whole system. The deep insight here is that we gain choice and resilience not by trying to fix one complex in a perfect linear sequence, but by recognizing which thread is under strain and offering it a targeted intervention, thus stabilizing the overall network. The architecture may be hierarchical in its development, sure, but its functional balance demands the continuous dynamic complexity of the integrated system.
And, you know, there is still so much to explore regarding how individual temperament and life experience shape which basins of emotion become dominant for a person and how that dominance fundamentally shifts the operational relationship between the rungs and the threads of this incredible architecture.